It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Michigan Talk Network, Jethro Network. Somebody's network is picking us up right now. And we hope that's at your house, too. So I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's happening in your network?
Hey, at least you got it out.
Yeah.
It's just about spring. I can smell it, buddy. I can smell the barbecues firing up, and yep. It's... You know, the lame barbecue guys are just pulling their grills out right now, so it's helping the neighborhood.
I know. There's applications for new man cards everywhere.
That's right.
But, hey, this week I got a couple things I want to chat with. Sometimes you call a buddy and you think you're going to talk about one thing and you end up mentioning something and then he calls you out and you hang up the phone and it's like, damn, he was right. So that happened to me this week with Barbecue Bob. I called him. What's going on? We have these conversations, you know, like all buddies do, a couple times a week generally, about whatever. And what's new with you, Jop? Oh, I'm getting a new dog.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm getting a new dog, you know. And he's like, well, you got a dog. And I'm like, yes, I do. I do have a dog.
Okay,
I got
time out. Time out. I said, you know you are making it too well in the world when you can buy your dog a dog.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was the part when I hung up, is that Lisa, my wife, and I are working a lot of hours in our real jobs, and we were away from home, and all the dog started acting up a little bit, and, you know, we talked.
What'd the counselor say?
Right. It was no counselor. It was just another friend other than you said that it might be a good idea to get the dog a playmate.
That'd be an ex-friend if he was right, mine.
Yeah. So, you know, my bride has a big heart, and obviously not too smart either because she married me. But at the end of the day, we adopted a black Labrador. And
a little like a lap dog.
Yeah, right. 75-pounder, to be exact. And
well, now you got 150.
Yeah. And so here's the deal, though, is you're on, and I'm not going to, the adoption service shall remain nameless, but they told us the dog was 2 years old. They told us that it had not had litter of puppies and that it was just came from a guy who's a breeder. Well, we get it on Sunday. And we take it to the vet on Monday because I just want to check up on it, and I needed to get flea and tick stuff and whatever, and they won't do it without a blood test. So I go there, and they tell me, oh, no, that dog's not two. She's got to be probably five or six. And I'm like, okay, there's check number one. And number two is she's had a couple litters of puppies, and she's not fixed. So I'm like, well, strike number two.
Well, there's a great adoption service
right there. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, so, is this somebody you met behind the bar?
No, actually, it was an online deal, but we picked up the dog at a PetSmart, and there was a legitimate service there. And so now we've got a quandary because the dog is very nice, and she's healthy, and her coat's beautiful, but we kind of didn't get what we thought we were going to get. And so anyway, we're working through it, but that's just, you know, it's one of those things where you think you're doing a great thing, and I think at the end of the day, we pretty much did, but got a little bit of a surprise there.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that all happened this week, and you know what? The dog is nice. It's well-behaved. Hey, the one really bright spot is, as you know, Bob, I have a dog door in my house, right? And the dog lets themselves in and out. She picked that up within 4 hours. She's not had a mess in the house. And so she's clearly been a house dog for somebody. But anyway, yeah, she's using the dog door in and out just like the other one is.
Well, so. The other good news is your other dog's a female, so puppies won't be a problem.
Right, but, you know, you go to the dog park with a intact dog, you got to be careful, so we're going to get that fixed too. They did give us a certificate to get it done for free. So, but, you know, so there's yin and yang. So tell me, maybe they did know that or they didn't. Why would you get a certificate? Huh? Hmm. But anyway, that was kind of buried in the paperwork. Enough about that. But, yeah, so we've got a new dog, Raven, and she's coming to a dog park near you.
Is that the name she was given?
No, but I would not yell out my back door, Angel, come in. right? So
because your neighbor would be jumping the fence.
That's right, yeah. So we changed Angel to Raven, and that's a challenge, too, because, you know, there's something to be said about that old dog, new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to teach a dog a new name, but it'll all work out. It'll all work out. But, yeah, just one of those moments where if I'd have just listened to my buddy Bob, we probably would have taken a little bit different course.
Well, who knows?
With a different horse.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm really frustrated about working on vehicles. I do it a lot, and I've got an issue with my Jeep moonroof. It's leaking water.
Oh.
And as I research it, sounds like they all do. My other one didn't.
Oh.
But it's, you know, there's 30 YouTube videos on it.
Okay.
So I
can called, you buy a seal?
So I called my mechanic. That's what I said, and he goes, "Well, you can, but you got to get the whole window. It's $700,
and
you have to order it." And I'm like, man, I don't even want to think about that.
Right.
You know, the great deal on the Jeep is turning into, it's starting to tick me off.
Yeah. Well, there's always duct tape and Visqueen.
And, well, I think I have a plan for it. I never open the thing anyway. I'm not big on moonroofs. My wife is. I don't like sun. I don't like ragtops either.
Right.
Because I'm fighting skin cancer all the time. So I think I have a solution for it. We'll see. But I did have to work on the wife's car a couple nights ago. It has the sway bars and apparently the bearings, the joints in them go pretty quick. That's why my mechanic calls them rattle bars.
Okay.
Because the sway bars rattle after 50,000. So I went down to Napa and I bought the very best ones they had.
Mm-hmm.
And last night I swore for 3 hours putting those things on. It was quite...
Dude, I have no idea. Your skills are so far beyond me. I have no idea where to start working on a car.
Just a little beyond me, too. It was. Here's the thing, and I've got every tool, but you can't get at the inside of those joints. I mean, it's so. I spent 3 or 4 hours humped over, reaching in. Oh my gosh, I needed a cocktail so bad after 2 or 3 hours. I found one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, imagine that. You know how I'd have handled that, but that's different. You didn't call me on that one either, so I get it.
And then I got in the hot tub, and everything was better.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, this tomorrow on Sunday, I'm doing my annual Boy Scout trip if we have ice. Every year I go out on a lake with a few guys, and they're giving the Boy Scouts their merit badges for the winter, and they're taught to ice fish. And I am the guy that just brings out dogs and snacks and stuff, and I cook for these guys for 2 or 3 hours while they're learning to ice fish. But with the weather that we've had today and tomorrow, I'm thinking there might be some moms and dads that don't want to walk across a little plank to get to solid ice because the edges may be melted away. So we're kind of touch and go on that, but I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, how and thick is the ice on Reed's Lake right now?
I'm going to tell you that today, Wednesday when we went, it was still like 14 inches.
Oh.
Okay, so there's a ton of ice
out
there, and there will be on
You'll
Sunday.
Be okay.
It's the edge. You know, because when it gets warm and we had rain on Saturday and rain again on Sunday, that really makes that edge melt away first.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be tons of ice out in the middle, but it's just getting to it.
Get a couple sheets of OSB.
Right, but I just don't know if a mom with their, 5-year-old son is going to want to do that. So we're going to see.
So do the parents go out on the ice with you?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you take your truck out there to test it first?
Right, well, that's Chaz. That's not me. That's what Chaz does. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it comes together, but there's a chance it won't. So whatever, no big deal. It's just hot dogs, but Sobey Meats gave us a really good deal on some dogs and stuff, so it's all good. It's all good.
That's cool.
We'll make it. They freeze, right? So we can keep them and do another event for them. But
so
anyway.
I think coming up we should talk about how to plan an outdoor kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and then talk about maybe. I think if you're going to plan that out before you even plan it out, you have to know pretty much what kind of stuff you want to grill on and smoke on.
Yep.
So let's hit some of that.
And the timing's good on that, Bob, because the Home and Garden Show is in downtown Grand Rapids this weekend.
Oh.
And you could slide over there and get some really cool ideas, because there's some great outdoor kitchens at that. But coming up next, we're going to teach you how to cook outside the right way. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoe's now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoe's as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys here on Jethro FM, man. I'm glad you're tuned in. This is a really cool radio station. We've been on a lot of them around town, and if you've been following us, we appreciate that. But we found home here, man.
Been a 12-year journey in three other stations. So
right.
I think we're pretty much spent. I don't think there's anybody else in town that'll take us.
Right, yeah.
Maybe the public broadcasting.
If you write checks big enough, they'll do anything, right? But that's never generally not our style. But Bob, as you know, a few years back, I was in the outdoor kitchen business, and this is a really, really busy time for all the planning. So what we thought we might do is touch on a few things that you might want to consider if you were going to put a little outdoor kitchen in your backyard. The first one I'll talk about is, if you're going to build close to your lot line, make sure you know what the ordinances are in your neighborhood, because I put in a really, really nice outdoor kitchen last summer, and by fall I had to take it out because I had a neighbor complain, and he shall remain nameless, Earl, and I had to take it out because I built it too close to the property line. So there's rule number one, is follow the ordinances. I wasn't attempting to break the rules. I was just stupid enough not to check what they were. So there's tip number one when you're building your outdoor kitchen.
You didn't break the rules? Oh, you pulled a permit for it?
What? No, I did not. I did not, but I didn't intend to break the rules. My deck was already there. I was building on a deck. I thought we were going to be fine. And not so much. You know, it wasn't like I was putting anything in the ground.
So that was a cool little bar area.
Yep.
Roof over.
Right.
What you going to do now?
Well,
rebuild it on the other side?
I am.
In the center of the yard?
Yep. I've got a pool in the backyard, and this was on one side, the side that was closest to the property line. And I built it as deep as I did so that we had room for a bar and then some chairs in front of it, and you could still walk by the edge of the pool, right? And that was my mistake, because it pushed it too close to the fence, and or the property line, rather, and I had to take it down. So the other side, the flip side is I got tons of room on the other side of the pool. It isn't nearly as cool over there because we were watching the sunset. We were west-facing. Now we'll be east-facing if I move it over there. But that's one of the things that you need to consider.
Well, but on the other hand, if you put your roof up a little higher, you won't have the smoke. And if you tilt it open to the east, you'll have the morning sun. In the afternoon, you'll have more shade.
Right.
So I think you'll be okay there.
Yeah. And
that's actually, you know, when you talk about types of roof, that's the second item coming up here. That's a big consideration.
Right.
A really big one.
Right. And the roof, what we did.
As I recall, that sun beamed into the way you used to have it.
A little bit, because it was 12 foot deep.
So if you put a back wall on this one, you can actually put a TV in there and see the screen.
Sure.
That was another problem we had last year was
right.
that projector you had.
Right. You couldn't see it.
Other than being a Krako.
Right. Yeah. Right. But the roofing, you know, these aren't structures that are you're going to live in. These are you're going to be under them, and unless you're if you're doing it under your deck, different story. But this one's freestanding out in the yard, and I just use that corrugated steel,
barn metal,
galvanized steel.
Yep.
And you can get that in a million colors, and it's pretty inexpensive as it pertains to wood, because the other thing would be wooden shingles on it, but it's super heavy.
Oh, this this is just what I did, and I used my hardwood for my runners, my stringers,
right.
And then purlins, and I just put, you know, they're, I think the cover is 21 inches on them. They're like 24, and
right.
Your coverage is about 21 by the time you get your overlaps, and so I spaced all my stringers out on 21 right. inches, and that thing is solid as can be. I mean, right. it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And I put a 412 pitch on it, so the snow is sliding off it.
Right. Yep. And those are two very important aspects of this, is make it sturdy enough to hold a snow load, because there'll be times in the winter when that thing is out there and, you know, snow's heavy, especially when it warms up like it has these last few days. If you had 6 inches on there and all of a sudden it starts to melt, it's going to get heavy before it gets off there. But the pitch, then it'll slide off. And make sure you set that to slide into Earl's yard, because that's where it all belongs. But anyway, I'm not bitter.
I think your dog and you both need counseling.
Right. No, we're good, man. We feel good. But anyway, so that roof is important. And just plan it to be deep enough so that when your guests are at your bar, there's a little bit of overhang behind them. Because if it rains straight down, nobody likes to get their back
now
wet.
Now you'll be able to do that.
Right.
Where you put it before, it was just such a small area. It wasn't an option.
Right. Yep.
You'll be good now.
Yeah.
You can put bigger 4x4s in, so you can go 10 foot up with your high side.
Right.
I think you'll be good.
Yep.
And then run the 12-inch sections instead, or 12-foot sections instead of 8.
Yeah.
Make it nice and long.
Yep.
Because having a covered area in front of it to sit on stools in the shade at your bar is way better than sitting in the sun if you've been at the pool all day.
Right. The other thing with that is that I usually recommend that people put their cooking station west of their sitting area.
East of.
Yeah, excuse me. Thank you. East of their sitting area, because we have a prevailing west wind in West Michigan, and it'll blow the smoke somewhere else. This will allow me to do that as well. I had mine adjacent to my sitting area. Right? It was a little bit north of it, but it was on the same east-west plane.
Yours was in a good spot. It's just that it was so low. I think that smoke just wanted to just curl in there.
Bellowed in there, right. Yeah.
You had it planned out, right? You just had to learn.
Yep, exactly. So, so the outdoor kitchen, what do you want in it? Think about this and write it down. Set it aside for a week. Talk to a couple buddies. Come back and look at it again, because you may need some things that you didn't think of. You may not that you did think of. But
You're going to do yours all over again.
Right.
Are you going to put a fridge out there this time?
I am.
Okay.
I'm going to put a fridge out there.
You had one last time, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yep.
Yep. And I am a big proponent of the not the dorm fridges, but the next ones that are like 3 foot tall.
Yeah, like a bar fridge.
Right. But I cannot and will not put up with it being set on the floor. Because you got to get down on one knee to dig in the back of it to see what's in there.
Right.
Right. I always mount that at the countertop level. Then it's about 6 foot, 6 foot five tall, depending on your fridge. You open it up and you're looking right in there.
Yep.
That's a huge one, but it takes up counter space, right? A lot of those refrigerators are hidden under counter.
Well, you're rebuilding it now. You can make it as big as you want.
That's exactly
right. You're making more lumber, I heard.
Yeah, right. They make it all the time, just as long as I can keep making sales in the insurance business, we can keep paying for it. But anyway, that's all good. But so electricity, big deal.
Yep.
I think that you want lighting, you want stuff for your refrigerator. We had a margarita maker out there that used electricity. And here's the other one, guys, is everybody brings a device to the party.
I'll go one more.
Right. Yeah. So you need charging. You need a lot of charging spots.
Yep.
And then for music, somebody's going to be using their phone for the music, and you got to have a Bluetooth speaker. You're going to want to charge that thing up in case it runs out. I mean, there's just a lot of reason to have electricity out there.
Yeah, I want to talk about some water when we come back.
Yeah, that's a challenge for me.
Doesn't have to be.
Yeah, well, it's the draining of it. And then, and if you're in a city municipality, the tapping into it and stuff. And I'm all back to that permit stuff again. You know, I mean, if you can do it and you don't get caught, you're okay. But if you do it and you get caught, then it gets real ugly.
Like I said, let's talk about it.
Right, yeah. So anyway, so yeah. Coming up next, we'll talk about a little water. I don't care. Why not? But you're listening to Grillin' Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys. We're going to pick up this conversation. If you're just joining us, we've been talking a little bit about planning your outdoor kitchen. And we've covered the roof material and the roof where you need it, positioning it in your yard. But let's talk about, we touched on electricity. I think we agreed that you'd really want electricity
out
there. You need a dedicated circuit with a GFI because you're outside, but those are easy to do. And, you know, get an electrician if you don't know what you're doing. But the other thing, Bob, is I see that you have on here is wood storage. I think that that's key.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because you're going to have a fire pit and you're going to have probably a smoker or a charcoal fire pit grilling.
Right.
Like my big stainless one. I just burn wood in that.
What do we call those things again? Because I got one too. I can't remember the name of that stainless steel fire pit.
Oh, the solo stove?
Solo stove.
No, I'm talking about our big stainless, that custom one that we were given that I use for Brazilian barbecue. I burn wood in that.
Oh, okay.
So I stack up hickory out there, and I just start a fire, and I just keep pushing the coals over. And it works great.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yep. Those solo stoves are really nice. If you have an opportunity to get your hands on one of these, they're every bit as cool as they purport to be.
Yeah, and they're
be.
Down to like $279. Right. Two. They're and not it, even expensive.
Yeah, look it up online. S-O-L-O, solo stove. And they're a stainless steel portable fire pit, believe it or not. And, man, do they make a beautiful fire. They've got some secondary draft going on there at the top of the fire, which really burns. I don't know, for some reason it doesn't smoke. You'd know more about that.
It's got a reburn in it, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you go to your favorite grill shop and find one of these, you could actually even use a replacement Weber kettle grate. You can put a grate on top of that, and you can barbecue right on top of that stove.
Right.
They're so hot, it takes very little wood.
Right.
And because it's so nice to have a fire, but then you want to throw some sausage on there or something, you're in good shape.
Always, always. So get yourself a little wood storage. You want it covered. You want it up off the ground so that your wood seasons and it's ready to burn when you want to use it. You don't need a ton. The big pile is somewhere else, but just enough so that if you're entertaining, you've got maybe a 3 foot long stack that's maybe 2 or 3 foot tall.
And it doesn't have to be like heavily enclosed either.
Right.
It should be fairly open.
Right.
With just a nice roof over it with overhangs so that the air can keep blowing through it.
Right.
Because it'll want to draw moisture.
Right. And that'll season out. And you don't want to stack it too thick anyway because rodents get drawn to it and all that other stuff. So, but kind of cool. Deck protection, I'm assuming that's with regard to the cooking equipment.
If you're grilling on a wooden deck,
yeah,
it's good to have one of those fireproof mats.
Yep.
Or a piece of steel. They make a really cool little asbestos. No, just kidding. It's like asbestos, but it's rubber.
Right.
It's a fireproof mat, and there are various sizes. But Absolutely, if you're doing charcoal.
Right.
But even good idea if you're using gas.
Right. Because depending on what system you're using, it can render some hot grease and things could...
Or a pellet grill.
Right.
You know, yep. They have hot ash in them.
Right. Yep. And if you put them back together wrong, they'll catch on fire.
I've seen it.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard about it. I've really just never seen it myself, but I've heard they catch on fire if you put them back together backwards mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, so what about... grills. Where are we shopping for grills other than Garrett's Appliance, that's right. And I don't know about you, but people know that we're grilling guys, right? We run around with a patch on our arm once in a while and people just know who we are. We've been doing this so damn long. And I get questions this time of year for the next 2 months. People are thinking about getting new grills, right? What do I get? Tell me what you think about X.
Well, here's the cool thing about Garrett's. People always think they have to go to a big box store because they want to get the Weber or this. They've got the Weber and all that.
Right.
But they also have all sorts of other cool stuff. You love your Traeger stuff. They have a whole line of Traeger stuff.
Right.
Even some that burn charcoal.
Right.
Which is cool. But then if you want to get up into the stainless stuff and something that you can build in that'll last you a long time, they got all that.
Right. Right. And... the cool thing about them is that it doesn't cost a penny more to go there than it would anywhere else.
No.
They have to be competitive or they wouldn't be in business. But the differentiator there is two things in my mind. One is you're not dealing with the aisle manager that was over in plumbing last week and now is in appliances.
Right.
You're dealing with people that only do appliances. They're experts at it. And the second piece
and
of that.
Some of them can even cook squirrel. From what.
Right, Conrad?
What Conrad
yeah,
says.
Yeah, yeah.
Good enough to eat, right?
Good enough to eat squirrel.
Yeah, right. But the second piece is they've got parts and service. So that if anything ever goes wrong or you need replaced, you can go there. And
Garrett's has as big a parts and service department as most stores have store frontage.
Yeah.
So they have actually two very big service areas for parts.
Right.
And, I mean, you can find literally anything there. And they have a scratch and dent area in the back, too. You might go and check that out. Because they blow through a lot of equipment,
right?
And I found some deals back there.
Right,
I love scratch and dent.
Yeah, right. And they've got two stores, one over in Kentwood on 29th Street, I think, and then one in Byron Center and 28th Street over on the southwest side of Grand Rapids. But great guys to go do business with. And you know what? You don't have to buy there, but give yourself an opportunity to go over there and check them out because you'll be amazed at what you find there.
Yeah.
It's the best selection in town. It really is.
And, you know, we were talking about these two guys from across the street here from Sobeys, Lost Art Brewing, were with us last week. And the one had a Weber Genesis.
Right.
That's an awesome gas grill. That's still going to cost $1,000.
Right.
I mean, you want to get one like mine, a big stainless tech, they're $5,000 now. And mine's only the middle-sized one.
Right.
It's not even their top of the line.
Right.
So you can spend five, you can spend 10 on stainless.
Yep.
It won't do you any good.
The techs cook differently.
If I was going to do it again, I'd go get a Delta. And I think Garrett sells those, but it's probably... it's an American-made stainless grill. It's not infrared, but it's a fantastic, huge grill.
Right.
And I think what I'm probably going to do is I'm going to go see the boys at Garrett's. And now that I'm getting my tech rebuilt and I'm keeping it where it's at and putting a roof on it, I think I'm going to put a Genesis right next to it.
Yep. Yep. The tech grills that Bob's talking about are infrared in the sense that they're a propane grill. But the heat hits a glass deflector plate, which turns the propane heat into radiant heat.
But most infrared grills simply have an infrared burner that is straight on, you know,
right.
Like a Solaire or anything like
right.
that.
And they're used
fire
for searing.
Magics.
They're used for searing generally,
and making a quick steak. They're fantastic for a steak.
Right.
You just have to know what you're doing.
Right.
You got to be
don't burn them
attention.
Up. Yeah. Pay attention to what you're doing. It goes from zero to zero to a hero in a little bit,
and or zero to zero.
And you're not a hero if it goes too far. But anyway,
but the other thing about a gas grill is figuring out how big a cook surface you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you plan out, you know, what your typical cooks are going to be, And you don't have to have one big enough for the biggest party you'll ever do.
Right.
You can have a a Weber kettle on the side that'll take the overflow, or you should have a Weber kettle anyway, just as to have one charcoal grill.
Right.
Now, I have a Cajun. I don't have a kettle. But I was at Garrett's just last week, and I saw they have the new Summit kettle, which is like a giant steel egg. And I cooked on one there a couple years ago, and that is probably one of the – and it's only $1,000 now.
Right.
I say only $1,000, but those were $1,900 first time I saw them.
Bring two men and a boy if you buy one, though, because they are heavy. But that's
not
cool.
Not as bad as a Kamado.
Right. Oh, the, I thought it was a steel Kamado.
Steel.
That's what you're talking about.
It's steel. It's like a giant kettle, but it's got a liner in it
that's
metal as well. I'd say it works better than an egg.
Right.
Because you don't have a 200-pound lid, for one thing.
Right.
And it's got all sorts of cool, I mean, it's just so pliable and so adjustable that I think they're onto something with that.
Yep.
And it's called a Summit.
Really cool. Yeah. So gas grills, everybody should have one, in my opinion, only because we all live these busy lifestyles, and you can come home, you fire it up, you're cooking in 5 minutes once the grill's hot. And you know, it fits modern day lifestyle.
So you're running you're putting a new outdoor kitchen area in.
I am.
You're going to run gas over to it?
Maybe. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Okay.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Break out the butter and the flour, ready to fry.
My dog Pete's the smallest dog of all the dogs in my yard.
That's right.
He's a mean son of a bitch, drinks beaming water from a broken mason jar.
And we sick him on a chicken. Sick him on a chicken.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grilling Guys. We're talking about putting a kitchen in your backyard. And we've covered a few things here. We just talked about, should you have a gas grill? My humble opinion is everybody should have a gas grill just because they're so mainstream and everybody can work on one of those and you get your family fed in a hurry. Now,
whether you're on natural gas or LP, I strongly recommend hard piping that grill.
Yep. And why is that?
Because when I used to do tanks and when I was on propane, all I had was tanks. No matter if I was hard piped or what, it was going to be propane. But I switched to natural gas. When I did that, I repiped a bunch of stuff, and I ran gas to my grill and converted it to natural.
Yep. So
it didn't cost $50.
So let's talk about why that.
Because you don't run out of gas.
Well, that's true, but is the heat different with natural gas than LP?
No, because you're going to put a conversion kit in, or you're going to buy a grill that's. Most people aren't going to convert from LP to natural. They're already natural, or they're LP and going to be LP.
Right.
So you're going to get a grill that's already set up for LP. But, I mean, the bulk of people now have natural gas.
Yeah.
So you buy the grill.
If you're in a city somewhere,
and if
sure.
it's not natural gas, you get a natural gas kit. And it's basically a regulator, which is simple, and your orifices, which are really simple. It's so you can convert it. If you go to Garrett's, they're going to have it all converted for you.
Right. Yeah. If you buy a new grill from them, you tell them, do you want it LP or
yep. –
do you want it natural? And it'll come that way and ready to just plug and play. But the truth is that hauling tanks is a pain. But what's even a bigger pain is if you run out of gas in the middle of a cook.
Yeah.
That'll ruin a party in a hurry.
Yeah. You don't have a backup.
That'll ruin a party
in
a hurry.
That only happens once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Four tanks in the garage right now for me, right? Because I'm on natural gas, but because I'm in the city of Granville, but I haven't run my grills yet. with it. Can I convert that?
I thought we ran gas. Oh, we ran gas to your pool heater.
Right. Yeah.
So the gas is already close.
Right. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. It's there. But can those techs be turned into natural gas?
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, so I got to do that because that's the one I pipe in hard and I don't want to move.
I don't know. You haul that one around all the time.
Well, it's going out on the ice tomorrow if we can figure it out.
Yeah, that one tank for that little thing's so stingy on gas.
Yeah.
You know, there's another thing. How big is the grill? That's a portable grill. Right. I wouldn't get too excited about it. You know, if you want to buy an extra gas grill, and you won't, you don't need it.
Right.
I mean, most of the time, that thing can turn out so much food.
Right.
Yeah, I'd keep it. Just me, I'd just keep that one LP.
Yep.
Because then you can stay portable.
Yeah. And it is fun to grab it and go if you need to.
Yep. Yep. Although, if you did convert it, you could grab a cheap little gas portable that you could take places that would be lighter than that one because it is pretty heavy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think it's 80 pounds. I looked it up, and it was like, ooh, that is heavy. I've been carrying that thing around, but it goes on a sled on the ice, so I don't have to walk out there with it. But
so
anyway.
Think about the dollars you have and the space you have. Those are the two big variables that are going to guide you to making your selection. And like I've said before, let's say you're a newlywed couple and you just bought a house and the bucks are really skinny. Here's the cool thing you can do. You can go surfing on Marketplace or the Goodwill or Salvation Army, and you can find an old Weber, and you can pick those up for $50 to $100. We're talking about the beautiful old porcelain Webers, gas grills. You can buy new flavor bars, new burners. You can spend $120, $140 on it, and you will have a grill that'll last you maybe for your lifetime because you can just keep rebuilding those old Webers. They're better than the new Webers.
Yeah. Yep. Back when they were made to last, mm-hmm. not planned obsolescence. Absolutely. So you get a gas grill. Charcoal, there's no substitute for charcoal. There again, a Weber kettle. If you think we're sponsored by Weber, and we're not.
We should be.
But at the end of the day, these are easy grills to find. They're easy grills to maintain. My only tip on a charcoal grill is take the ash out of the bottom of it because it's caustic, and if it sits in there and it gets wet, you really start getting a reaction.
Invest in a cover.
Right. Yeah. And it really, you get a reaction, and you'll rust the bottom of that thing out in a couple seasons.
So what if you want a stainless charcoal grill?
You should buy one, but bring your chips.
Guess who makes one?
Who makes one?
Cajun. The Cajun Pro.
Oh, yep.
It's beautiful. It's just like my
T-Gid. Yeah.
It's just like my Cajun, except it's stainless. And I will have one of those one of these days.
Yeah.
mine's 10, 12 years old, maybe more. And it's going to last me another 10 years easily. So I don't really need a stainless. But they are pretty.
Is another grill ever a need, or is it just something that, well, yeah, you know what it is. I need another grill.
Yeah,
I'd need another grill. Hell yeah, I do. Why not? You know what? I don't think Lisa ever gets enough jewelry.
No.
And I know for a fact she never gets enough cosmetics, I guess they are. We have 4 shelves in our bathroom. And I got a quarter of one, and there's 3 3/4 filled with all these little bottles that had got about just a quarter of something left in them. And they never go away. They just multiply. They breed in there.
You
man.
Know, you saw the new bathroom I built.
Right.
And my little queen has an area with drawers and mirrors. And anytime there's an event going on, all the women go in our bathroom. I can't even use it.
Right.
They're all in there at the vanity, and, you know, there's sinks, and it's a process.
Oh, yeah.
They got the spackle kits out, and they're slapping the mud
right.
on.
Yep.
Yeah. Sander.
It's no good textured. It's all got to be smooth. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you got a daughter that's a makeup artist, too, so she's in there, like, you know, teaching a seminar.
She doesn't do me any good.
No. Hell no. She's not that good.
Ouch. Okay, where to shop? Go to Garrett's.
Right.
LP Natural. That's your call.
Sideburners.
Here's the other thing is, what do you grill?
Right, right. Start there.
Because like me, you and I grill everything, but I'm still a sucker for hot dogs and hamburgers.
Right.
And brats.
Yep.
I'm going to do at least half of the stuff is going to be dogs and burgers just because of the people that come over. We have a pool. We have a big backyard. There's always a bunch of kids. Now there's grandkids and everybody else's grandkids. I'm not going to, I'm going to make sure I have lots of hot dogs on hand all the time because the kids can't turn them down.
Right. Well, adults can't either. I mean, it's good feeder food, man. If you know, all of a sudden your party of 10 went to 30 because word got out, and that happens with pools and backyards.
So the size of your grill surface is going to determine the number of burners you get.
Right.
Very often the standard small spirit, again, we're doing a Weber commercial, but spirits, they're small one. The average guy buys a two burner, and it's okay. But if you're going to just get a spirit, at least get the three burner.
Right. Most of them, most of your standard built-in grills are 30 or 36 inches.
Yep.
Either one. Both of those suit 95% of the people. Now, there's bigger ones out there.
If you're building it in, I'd say try and go 36.
Right, exactly, because you can never have too much grill, but there's that chance you don't have not enough. And 36 would be good.
I put that big stainless job out at Fox 17 years ago.
Yep, I remember that.
When I was doing those gigs. That's a 42. And that is a dandy.
Yeah.
I would love to get my hands on that grill.
Yeah, yeah, but again,
it's 12 grand.
Yeah, and you're cooking for, you know, three dozen people on that to fill that thing up.
Not uncommon at my place.
Well, I understand, but it's also uncommon that it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Right? So,
no.
But when
now
it
I
does.
Have a solid fuel grilling area, which is what I put the roof over last year. And I'm going to keep the gas where it's at, maybe put another one next to it and put the deep fryer up there, keep all the gas stuff on the back deck, and I'm putting a roof over that too. Just a small little cool, it's going to look like a wishing well or something, you know, just a little gable roof that covers that area, keeps the sun off it, because if I'm out there choking in the smoke to get a bunch of steaks knocked down, I don't need to get baked in a 95-degree sunny day.
Right. Yep, little roof never hurt anybody.
No.
But Conrad, how are we doing on time, brother?
Got about a minute, boys.
All right, good. Well,
Side burner,
pass.
I like them.
I don't. I never use them. Had them. I don't
keep
ever
the
bring
up. Beans
a,
warm.
Yeah, I understand, but I got the beans in the smoker or the oven. I don't ever do a side thing. And then the wind blows a little bit and it doesn't keep things hot. And
Most people are like you. They don't use them.
Right.
I like them just because if you're going to do a fish fry. Now, I've got the pot holder in my Cajun, so I use that. I put my wok in there. Oh, or
there
my Dutch
again, you're
oven
not
in
using
there.
Your side burner.
I don't have to.
Right.
But like if you're going to do fish or something outside, it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. I don't know if we taught you anything today or you even care, but
we're figuring out our problems.
Right?
Here.
Yeah,
we're not really here. To
I
help
started
you.
Out. I started out with a bum dog, and we went downhill from there. But anyway, we appreciate you tuning in, and get out in your backyard, create a little grill envy in your neighborhood, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.